So I began the series on Good Friday called Jesus Is. And we want to finish the sentence to bring together a focus in celebrating who Jesus is. And on Good Friday, I taught on Jesus as our substitute, that Jesus did not just die on the cross because he loves us. He died on the cross because he took our place. He's our substitute. On Easter Sunday, I spoke of Jesus as our resurrection, that the foundation of the Christian faith is not a list of rules and regulations. It's not moral teachings. It's not doctrine. It is the historical event of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want to tackle Jesus' identity as God. I'm going to teach some theology this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to open to the Gospel of John in chapter 8. And like I said, I'm going to do some theological teaching. My prayer is that as I exalt Jesus in my teaching this morning, that he will teach you some things that you can take away from this. It's important to note that Jesus is not the only person to have claimed to be God or to be the Messiah or to be the Son of God. I've actually found a few. There are actually five people that we know of around the world today who claim to be Jesus. Have you heard this? I want you to meet Moses Hlongwane. He is in South Africa. This is a picture of him at his wedding where he's preaching to his flock. His wife, it goes by the name Mother of the Whole World. Moses says that God identified him as the Messiah during a dream in 1992. At the time, he was a jewelry salesman. And since then, he travels. He preaches in Johannesburg, a few other places that I can't pronounce. But yeah, they've got a following of about 40 disciples. Here's another one. This gentleman's name is Viserion. He is known as, he goes by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what he asks people to call him. He is in Siberia. And apparently the Lord revealed to him that he was Jesus reborn on the earth again. He is the founder of a church, the Church of the Last Testament. And he now has about 5,000 followers. They've built their own schools, churches, and an entire society in Siberia. I'll give you one more. This is Jesus of Kitwe. He's known as the parent rock of the world, Mr. Faithful, or Mr. Word of God. He spends his days driving a cab, spreading the gospel, preaching the kingdom, about the kingdom of God. He claims he received a revelation from God when he was 24 years old that he was the fulfillment of the second coming of Christ. Churches in the area accused him of blasphemy, and he moved out of town pretty quick. And there's a few more. There's a few more out there. And the reason that I draw your attention to these significantly deceived men is because we need to know, who is Jesus? Who is he? Because if we're going to follow him, if we're going to say as a group of people that we follow Jesus, we have to know who Jesus is. We have to be aware that there are some people who say things that aren't true, and we need to build our faith upon who Jesus truly is. So we're going to let Jesus speak for himself this morning. Here in John chapter 8, towards the end, I'm going to start reading in verse 44. We have Jesus in this interaction with some Jews, and they call Jesus some names, and Jesus calls them some names. You know that Jesus calls people names? And some of them aren't very nice. You know Jesus was nasty with people? He was. John 8:44, he says this, "You are of your father the devil." He called a group of Jews whose greatest point of pride in life was that they followed God. He called them children of the devil. Right? So how many of you can relate to Jesus? How many name callers are there in the room, right? You can relate. You go, "I am just like Jesus. I call people names too." But the difference is this. When Jesus calls people names, he does not do it with the intent of bringing people down. See, when we do it, we want to hurt people. When Jesus calls people names, he wants to give them the truth so that their lives can be changed. So I just gave you a loophole there. If you want to call someone a name, you just got to get a right motive. Just tell them the truth and pray good things for them. Okay, so we're going to start reading here in verse 47, and we're going to listen to the words of Jesus as he converses with these Jews. "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, and yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died? And the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. We can often judge how well we think a service went or a sermon went based upon the response at the end or what happens after the service was over. How do you think this service went? No stones yet, right? Like, I feel pretty good about myself if nobody throws stones at me by the end of Sunday. See, here's something about Jesus that I just love. He did not care if he offended people. Jesus was not politically correct. This was Jesus' way of speaking. I am going to tell you the truth, and if you're offended by the truth, that's your problem, not mine. Jesus didn't read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. No, he told you the truth, and if you didn't like the truth, that's your problem. And I just find that refreshing because we live in a country and in a society where every word that comes out of every person's mouth has to be filtered through this lens of, am I going to offend somebody? Like, is someone in the room going to be offended by what I say? And I run that risk every single Sunday of offending many, many people. And I just love that Jesus did not care. If you get offended by Jesus, it's your problem, not his. If you get offended by the truth, now people shouldn't, I'm not saying that you should thoughtlessly say things and be harsh with people. I'm just saying that the truth matters more than whether or not you're offended by the truth. Okay, let's move on. Amen. Good work, Pastor Tim. Whew. Slip that in there. All right, this is a pretty offensive thing that Jesus says here, and we're going to get right into it. Verse 47, let's walk through this together. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Wow. Jesus looking into the eyes of Jews who, again, their greatest pride in life was that they know God. They have a relationship with God. And Jesus looks at them and says, do you want to know why you don't understand what I'm saying? You're not of God. You don't know God. Jesus comes in and he questions their relationship with God. He says, the reason you don't understand what I'm saying is that you are not of God. Now, a Jewish boy by 12 years old was considered to be old enough to be fully responsible to know and live according to the scripture. How many of you are that harsh on your 12-year-old? At 12 years old, they were considered to be an adult who had to be held accountable to obeying scripture in its totality. They studied the scripture. They read the scripture. They gathered in the synagogue to better understand the scripture. And Jesus comes and he looks in their eyes and he says, you do not know God. I know God. You don't know him. That's why you don't get me. So the Jews start, I'm pretty sure this is when they started picking up stones and putting it in their pockets. This is what this teaches us. Your faith is not solely found in what you profess with your mouth, but what is truly in your heart. This is true of the Jews on this day, and it's true of many Christians today. They say, oh, I follow Jesus, I believe in Jesus, I love Jesus, I believe in God, I follow God, I love God. And yet in their hearts, it's not true. Jesus was exposing in them something that should be exposed today, is that many Christians who walk around claiming to be Christians are not Christians. God put this scripture on my heart when we were singing praise and worship this morning. Matthew 15:8, Jesus said this, quoting the prophet Isaiah, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And God didn't give that to me to speak that because that was necessarily referring to all of you, but maybe there's some in the room. Just because you sing worship, just because you come to church every Sunday, just because you tithe, just because you serve, doesn't mean you love Jesus. And Jesus is exposing to these Jews, listen, just because you think you're close to God doesn't mean you're close to God. It's about what's in your heart. So he's telling them that they were unbelieving believers. Unbelieving believers. Can you try and understand what that is? That's called an oxymoron. An oxymoron. That's a whole other category of Christians, okay? I wonder how many people I can offend by the end of service today. So many people today, they believe on Sundays. They believe when things are going well. Sing praises to Jesus when they get the raise. When their kids get sick, they wonder if there really is a God. Come on, are you a believer Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, summertime, wintertime? Are you sold out to Jesus come hell or high water? Because that's the only way to live. Jesus says this, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you don't hear them is that you are not of God. Wow. So what do they say in response? They start calling him names, because if Jesus is going to call me a name, I'm going to call Jesus a name. So that's what they do. Verse 48, they say, you're a Samaritan and you have a demon. Now, when they call him a Samaritan, they're not actually suggesting that he lives in Samaria. They know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth. But a Samaritan to them was a lawbreaker. A Samaritan to them was a heathen. It was someone who had no regard for the law of God. The Aramaic word for Samaritan is shamaron, which can be translated child of the devil. Okay, so remember what Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. They call him a Samaritan. What are they saying? You're the one who's the child of the devil. You're the one whose father is the devil. You're the one who has a demon. He says, you are a Samaritan and you have a demon. They are firmly convinced, no, Jesus, you're wrong, I'm right. I'm the one who's a child of Abraham. I'm the one who's a follower of God. I'm the one who's in synagogue every Sunday. You're the one who's off base here. And they go on to say that they're so convinced, they say this in verse 52. The Jews said, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, and yet you say, this is what Jesus said, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Verse 53, are you greater than our father Abraham who died and the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus said, if you obey my words, if anyone keeps my words, he will never taste death. And to them, they go back to the history of the fathers of faith. They go back to Abraham, the father of their faith. And they say, Abraham did die. And Abraham was the most faithful man that you could look throughout the Old Testament scriptures. Abraham was so faithful to God that he laid down his son on an altar to sacrifice him because he loved God so much. Come on, Abraham's a big deal. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his one and only son, which is a picture of what Jesus did. Abraham was willing to do that. And they look back and they say, Abraham died. What do you mean if we obey your words, we'll never see death? Abraham died. The prophets died. Are you suggesting that you are greater than them? And Jesus, before we read his response, I want you to remember what Jesus called them. You are of your father, the devil. Jesus was trying to establish a connection between them and their spiritual father, Satan. You're influenced by him. They did not mean that he was their biological father. This is not a biological term. Satan did not have offspring. Okay, this is called a metaphor. Somebody say metaphor. When he says you are of your father, the devil, that's a metaphor. Okay, important to remember. Here's Jesus' response in verse 54. Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is who? My Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. Okay? Did you catch this? Did you notice the interaction? Jesus says, listen, you're of your father the devil. They say, who do you think you are? He says, let me tell you about my Father. My Father. God is my Father. Whoa. This isn't a biological word. We know we talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We know that this is who God is, right? He's one being, three persons. Everybody with me? I'm giving you theology this morning. Everybody got your pencil sharpened? Theology class. God is one being, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The terms Father and Son are not to be taken literally. They are an expression. They are an attempt to help us understand the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. You with me? Jesus comes and he says, you are of your father, the devil. You are more influenced by the devil than you are by God. They say, who do you think you are? And he says, my daddy's God. God's my daddy. You say, you notice this in verse 54, you say, of whom you say he is our God. You call God, God. You think that that's pretty special? That you've got a God? I've got a daddy. I have a personal relationship with God. It's like Jesus is just putting down the trump card. Like, you think you're close to God? I'm closer. You think you know who God is? I know him more than you do. He's my father. He's my daddy. I have a personal relationship with God. It's so important to see. Jesus is the Son of God. The statement that I want to make to you this morning is a little bit more to the point. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. You understand? Holy Trinity is three in one. The Holy Spirit is God. God is not three different persons. He's three different beings. This is deep stuff this morning. You with me? Jesus is God. What I want to do this morning is exalt Jesus, lift him up, and let him draw people to himself. So my statement for you this morning is Jesus is God, and we have to see Jesus as God. Otherwise, we're going to get confused, and we're going to get left in the dark, and we're going to get led astray by all sorts of strange stuff out there. Jesus actually is God. Genesis records God saying, let us make man in our image. Plural, our, let us. Who's that referring to? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus has always been God, always will be God. So he says, you're of your father, the devil. I am of my father, and his name is God. Listen to verse 55. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. I would join your club. But I do know him, and I keep his words. Now, you got to understand why, you can see why the Jews would have been so offended by this. Let me ask you, how offended would you be if someone came up to you after service and introduced themselves to you? Hey, my name's Craig. It's so good to meet you. I just want to tell you a few things. I know God more than you do. I'm closer to him than you are, and I obey him more than you do. How would you feel about that person? Come on, anybody got some ideas on what you want to do? I'll tell you what you can do. You have your pastor's blessing to just send them to the church down the street. Spiritual pride. And nobody ought to have spiritual pride except for Jesus. It's not spiritual pride because it's truth. Jesus is closer to God than we are. He does know the Father more than we do, and he is more obedient than we are. Jesus makes a few unique claims here. He claims unique knowledge of God, unique relationship with God, and unique obedience to God. He shows up on the scene to these Jews and he says, listen, I know more than you do, I'm closer to God than you do, and I obey God more than you do. Why? Because I am God. And they didn't see it. They didn't see it. The reason why you don't understand what I'm saying is because I'm God and you don't get God. You don't understand what's right in front of you is God in the flesh. Book of Colossians describes Jesus as the visible image of the invisible God. It's who he is. Verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Jesus is now trying to reason with them, and he's trying to pull upon his relationship with Abraham. He says, listen, Abraham saw the fulfillment of the promise. Abraham's promise was what? In you, all nations of the world will be blessed. Abraham, he says, listen, Abraham could see the day coming where this word was going to be fulfilled. And he was glad. He was excited that there would be a day coming. And here it finally is. I'm here. But they didn't get it. They didn't get it. They say, you're not 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? You're not even 50 years old. Why 50? A rabbi retired at 50 years of age. Who wants to bring those days back? 50 years of age, a rabbi retired because you were considered at 50 to be officially full of wisdom. Anyone over 50, say hallelujah. That's really bad news for your pastor. Pray for me. You're not 50 years old, and you are telling me that you have seen Abraham. How are you talking like you know Abraham, as if you have a relationship with Abraham? You're not even 50 years old. How would you know who Abraham was, what he was like, what he thought? Jesus said to them, verse 58, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Now, to most of us, that just sounds like bad grammar. But notice that Jesus did not say, "Before Abraham was, I was." He is not trying to establish that he's been alive longer than Abraham. He's not trying to just simply go back. This is not about how old is Jesus. He's not saying, "Before Abraham was, I was." He says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus is calling upon, he is taking upon himself the very name of God. Remember when God sent Moses to go to Pharaoh and free his people from slavery? He says, go speak to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go, they can worship me. And Moses gets nervous. Anybody get nervous when God tells you to do something? Come on, show of hands. 100% of the hands in the air, right? God tells you to do something, and you go, "I don't want to do that." So you like just keep asking questions and trying to figure things out. Moses says, "If I go, like, if they ask me who you are, what am I supposed to tell them? Like, what name should I give them? Like, who are you? Who's God?" He says, "Tell them that I am sent you. I am who I am." The name is really hard to explain except to say, "I am. I exist. I am the essence of existence. I have no beginning. I have no end. I just am. I'm everything. I am." And the Jews would have heard this. Jesus, in this statement, is saying, "Listen, folks, I'm God. I am God. Before Abraham was, I am." Where this is written in Scripture, you know where this name is given in your Bible? Whenever you see in your English translations the name Lord with all capitals, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Sorry, that was backwards for you. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Okay? Wherever it's all in capitals, that's the name I am. Whenever you see lowercase or capital L, low O-R-D, then that's a different name for God. That's God, usually Elohim. When it's all in capitals, it's the Hebrew name for God, which is four Hebrew letters, YHWH, YHWH. Nobody knows how it's pronounced because the Jews were so reverent of the name of God, they refused to write it down, they refused to speak it because they did not want to take his name in vain. So many have said it's Yahweh. They've inserted vowels from the name Jehovah and Adonai, and they've made a word out of it. We know it as Yahweh. God shows up through Jesus and reveals himself to the world. He says, "Before Abraham was, I am." This is Jesus' claim. "I am God." You want to know who Jesus is? He's God. He's not a great teacher. He's not a prophet. He's not someone that you should just read up on and consider following. He's not someone that you should take suggestions from. He's God. And I feel it's so important for us as a church to elevate our perspective of Jesus, because when you understand that Jesus is God, you take him a little bit more seriously, don't you? Jesus is not just the mediator between you and God. He's not just the one who died on the cross so that you can be forgiven. Jesus is God. And he is worthy of every breath in your lungs. He's worthy of every day of your life. He is worthy of everything. Jesus is God. And since Jesus is God, then following Jesus means you're following God. And knowing Jesus means you know God. You have a personal relationship with God. If you truly know who Jesus is, you have a personal relationship with God Almighty. Surrendering to Jesus means you're surrendering to God. My hope for you this morning is that you would begin to see that calling yourself a follower of Jesus is no small thing. It's the most significant statement you could ever make in your life. It is not something to be casual about. I go to church. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Sometimes I believe Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for me. Yeah, but I don't know if he'll forgive me. This is not something to take lightly. If Jesus is who he says he is, We read in Old Testament scripture, Isaiah 45, 5, I am the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. I am the I am, and there is no other. Isaiah 43, 11, I am the I am, and beside me there is no Savior. There is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ, none. It does not matter how nice of a person you are, does not matter how good you are, does not matter how hard you try. Jesus is the only way. Isaiah 46, 9, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We literally see in Jesus, when you study the life of Jesus, you are studying God himself. Think of the power of that. This is not a book of God or about God. God came and manifested himself in this book. You read of him here. You meet God when you read the word. John 10:30, he said this, I and the Father are one. John 20:28, the apostle Thomas said to Jesus, my Lord and my God. Titus 2:13 says, we are waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is not referring to two people, he is referring to one. We are waiting for the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. Hebrews 1:3, he, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature and upholds the universe by the word of his power. Colossians 1:17, and he, Jesus, is before all things and in all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus is not just a prophet. He's not just a son of God. He's not just the son of God. He is God. It's important to know this. Muslims believe that Jesus is a prophet. Mormons believe that Jesus is a son of God. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is a son of God. Scripture teaches that Jesus actually is God. This is how significant this is, because if you get this wrong, you'll end up following some guy in South Africa or Siberia or China that shows up and says, well, I'm Jesus, come in the flesh. And thousands of people's lives are being ruined because of that deception. I want to bring you to this. I said all this to get here. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, you know it well. Come on, let's read this together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Trust in who? The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Trust in the great I am. Don't trust in religion. Don't trust in a church. Don't trust in what somebody else tells you. Don't trust my sermon. Do not trust me. Somebody's going to tweet that by the end of the day. My pastor told me not to trust him. What should I do? I have a meeting with him on Tuesday. Only trust what I say that is also said here. If I inject my opinion, it's not the truth. Somebody say amen to that. You trust Jesus. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in Jesus. You can trust him. Why? Because he's God. He's not just a son of God. He's not just the son of God. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher. He's God, and you can trust him. You can trust him. Listen, when you have a need in your life, you can trust Jesus. If you in this place need healing in your body, you can trust Jesus. He's your healer. See, this is what happens when you start to trust someone. I'll pick on myself again. You start trusting in the pastor. Maybe I'll get healed if the pastor prays for me. Don't put your trust in me. You know what? Those prayers don't work. They don't work. Trust in Jesus. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases, every single one of them. You can trust Jesus with your sickness. You can trust Jesus with your children. Book of Isaiah says, great shall be the peace of my children. You can trust Jesus with your children. Is that good news in the house? You can trust Jesus with your future. You can trust Jesus with literally everything in your life because he's God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. What does your own understanding look like? I'm running out of money. I'm running out of strength. I'm running out of time. I got this going on over here. I got that going on over there. Your own understanding will always show you a bad report, will it not? If you just looked at natural circumstances, every day would be depressing. Every day you'd open your eyes and go, why did I wake up again? But if you have Jesus, every day is a miracle. Every day, no matter what is coming on, come hell or high water, every day is a good day when you have Jesus. Because you can trust him. Because if Jesus is God, then you can trust him to forgive you of all your sins. And if Jesus is God, you can trust him to give you direction for today. And if Jesus is God, he can prepare a bright future for you tomorrow. It's who he is. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You want to know what Jesus looks like? You want to know what God looks like? You look at Jesus. He met every need that came his way. Every sick person that came his way, you will not find one time that Jesus said, it's not my will for you to be healed. Go somewhere else. He healed every person, every time. Every time someone was lost, every time someone was hurt, Jesus had compassion on them. You know the people that Jesus got frustrated with? You know the people that Jesus called names? Religious people who thought they knew it all. The moment that you think that you're smarter than someone else, Jesus is going to have words with you. Unless you've blocked him out altogether. In which case, you just might not read verse 47. The reason that you don't hear my words is because you are not of God. So where's the good news in this? If Jesus is God, this is what Scripture teaches, that he has raised us up and he has made us to sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, who is God, then he has actually raised you up above every circumstance and every issue that you're dealing with today. And you're above it. You're not under your circumstances, you're above them. Somebody asks you how you're doing, don't say I'm pretty good under the circumstances. You shouldn't be under the circumstances, you should be over them. Because you've been raised up to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're not down here where you are in your circumstances. You have an angelic heavenly view of your circumstances. And you are able to smile upon the ruin and disaster, not because you're happy that it's there, but because you know that Jesus will make a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. There's a good verse for you when you're changing lanes on the highway. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. You drive by faith. All right. Stand to your feet this morning, and let me pray. You know what? Let us pray. Why don't you just go ahead and raise your voices, and let's have prayer happening all across this room. Just begin to praise him in this place. Just lift up your voice, and let's just exalt Jesus in this place. His word says when he's lifted up, when he is exalted, he will draw all men to himself. So God, today we exalt you in this place. We exalt the Lord Jesus in this place, that Jesus, you are more than someone to be followed. You are more than someone to be studied. You are God and you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our worship. You are worthy of our time. You are worthy of everything, God. And we just worship you in this place, God. I thank you for just a spirit of praise in this place. I thank you, Father God, for your name being lifted high. It is the name above every name. And we give you glory in this place that at that name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. In this place, we curse every attack of the enemy that is against every person in this room, and we break the power of it in Jesus' name. For every follower of God, I thank you for divine protection all around you, angels encamped around you, that no weapon shall befall you, nor plague come nigh your dwelling. Father, I thank you that you go before us and you are behind us, that you surround us with your goodness. We give you glory and honor and praise today, and Father, may we ever be conscious, may we ever be in remembrance of the reality that you are our God and you're worthy of our praise. We thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to ask our prayer team to come forward. I really feel that there's some people in the room this morning who need prayer, that you could greatly benefit from partnering with someone else in prayer. We just want to make this available to you to come forward for prayer. But if you must go, God bless you. Have a wonderful day and we'll see you again soon.